listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. Again, this is the day before the day we celebrate Independence Day. It's not the 4th of July so much as it is Independence Day. And what does that mean? I've mentioned before just a couple of quick comments, particularly in relation to what Paul was saying. I've mentioned before that in places like Federalist number 46 and 84, there was a discussion about this concept of a Bill of Rights, and there were, you know, folks in opposition to the concept, Madison, Hamilton, Patrick Henry, among others. And one of the arguments was that there would be a presumption that these are the only rights retained by the people, when actually, as Hamilton himself pointed out, it is, you know, including but not limited to, basically, is the operative concept. And, you know, another argument that was made was that, what we've seen today is that it's gone beyond that, as I usually point out. Now people call them constitutional rights, which is an erroneous statement. The Ninth Amendment clearly tells us that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, that's what's happening. It's the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights. It's the God-given rights. You know, again, you go back to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. But Chris, it's a different world today. I agree. And so the guy who is principally responsible for the Declaration of Independence also had some very specific words to that effect. Ideas like the earth belongs in usufruct to the living, and that every generation should re-examine these documents. But that's the 200 course and lecture series, isn't it? So, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, an amendment to the Constitution. There were certain objections to it. And it's interesting, you know, so the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, digital or real, shall we say, against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. But you know what? You don't have to worry about that when you're collecting telemetry data, right? And it's the assumptive tyranny that you want us to do this, and you can always turn it off. It's always turned on. Always enabled by default. You can turn it off if you can find where the heck to turn it off. Never mind that. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And it's coming to a point now where it's not even an issue of, you know, collecting all of this data because you're being unpersoned. There are no persons You have no persons, houses, papers, and effects if technocrats and cybernetic totalists have their way. Jaron Lanier is right. You are not a gadget. But how many people understand? I'll get to that in a minute. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. But what's to search? What's to seize when it's all been surrendered voluntarily? And that I use in air quotes, you know. We need to define terms. It's not exactly voluntarily, but there we are again, right? Not exactly. And, you know, by the way, the NSA doesn't call it, they don't consider it collecting until they take it out of the bucket, right? So that doesn't really count. So are we secure in our persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures? It's all part of the information superhighway now. And it is there is a quandary here because, you know, as folks like Paul Ohm point out, and, you know, Andrew Rajay echoed at the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum, data is either, it's inversely proportionate. It's either secure and private and not useful, or it's useful and not secure and private. Paul Ohm's paper, like so many other things, tell us, you know, like these lock-in concepts that Jaron Lanier writes about, we should re-examine these things. There are different, better ways to do this. You know, an internet that's free and open that basically pays you for the information that you provide is a very different animal. But technocrats and cybernetic totalists don't want to be bothered with asking you, why should we have to? And, you know, by the way, let me just step back for a second. If we, you know, some people just cannot conceptualize really what's in view here. And if you are hindered by the erroneous belief that, you know, people like us would never do this, let me gently remind you that we're not talking about people like us. Generally speaking, people, you know, those generally speaking who are, you know, we're listening here, we're talking, people of conscience, shall we say. We're not talking about those kinds of people. We're talking about people who really have a disdainful, irreverence for the notion that you and how dare you and I actually try to, they're trying to help the world, they're trying to save the world, they believe these kinds of things with a religious fervor in many cases. How dare we stand in their way? That's the kind of hubris we're talking about here. So people like that are not people like you and I. Which is why, even though Paul Ohm wrote Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization, it was published 10 years ago. It used three high-profile examples of companies like Netflix getting egg on their face for publishing what appeared to be anonymized data, only to discover it was easy to de-anonymize people and re-identify, as they say, people in the databases. And now what do we have? All of these databases are being combined. There's virtually no anonymity. In the Netflix example, if I recall somewhat accurately, it was just if your gender is published, I think your zip code and a few movie likes, a list of movie likes, then the ability, you go from about 85 to 87% anonymous to about 85 to 87% identifiable, just with that seemingly innocuous data. And what have we seen since then? With Facebook's Open Graph now, And they have all kinds of technology that you can use to help them and do their heavy lifting for them, help advance the Open Graph technology and incorporate it into everything you do with Gatsby and so forth. But has anyone given any thought or paid any heed to what Paul Ohm wrote and proved? What happened with Michael Kaczynski's work and Cambridge Analytica? But, you know, like Paul in New Jersey said, Facebook will retain the benefits of all of that information, but now those who are running for office, we're gonna curb their ads to make sure they don't do that anymore. Last thing I'll say about this in relation to what Paul said, again from Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, and this two sides of the same coin, as I usually put it, the singularity and the rapture, which again should call to mind Darby and Schofield on the rapture side of the discussion. People want to argue about it when they haven't done any research. That always fascinates me. That's not true. Really, how much research? How many hours? Who have you read? How much time have you spent just kind of ruminating on that before you said what you just said? Well, I watched a video and okay, all right. Yeah, sure. So, from Jaron Lanier's Chapter 2 of You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, Chapter 2, An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication, he wrote, you know, he's talking about the how the singularity goes, the story, you know, here's what's going to happen. Anyway, skipping forward, he says this: the coming singularity is a popular belief in the Society of Technologists. Singularity books are as common in computer science departments as rapture images are in an evangelical bookstore. Isn't that something? But it could never be. Well, you need to understand, we're talking about people who, you know, but what about Jeff Bezos? He's the richest man in the world. No, he's the most useful stooge in a game that is owned and controlled. The central banking scheme is run by people we don't know. Literally, who owns, who maintains the Federal Reserve System? Who are the controllers of the member banks, truly? When was the last time we were allowed to examine that charter and talk to the folks who are really pulling the strings behind the scenes of that cartel, as G. Edward Griffin puts it? So, you know, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, they're just lackeys. The coming singularity is a popular belief in Society of Technologists. Singularity books are as common in computer science departments as rapture images are in evangelical bookstores. Skipping down, he wrote, the difference between sanity and fanaticism is found in how well the believer can avoid confusing consequential differences in timing. Again, the millennial discussion seems to kind of come into view. The rapture discussion, obviously. If you believe the rapture is imminent, fixing the problems of this life might not be your greatest priority. You might even be eager to embrace wars and tolerate poverty and disease and others to bring about the conditions that could prod the rapture into being. And that is precisely what you observe when you traffic in those circles. Precisely what you observe. Ain't it great, brother? Jesus is coming. No. The atrocities that Jesus warns about, so great that, you know, unless he comes back, no flesh would be saved. That doesn't sound great. Sounds terrifying. In the same way, if you believe the singularity is coming soon, you might cease to design technology to serve humans and prepare instead for the grand events it will bring. Which speaks to exactly what Paul was talking about. That's what's happening. Can't we feel that more and more in the last several years in particular. But in either case, General Lanier wrote, the rest of the world would never know you had been right. Technology working well to improve the human condition is detectable, and you can see that possibility portrayed in optimistic science fiction like Star Trek. That's part of the way that they get your buy-in. That's part of the social engineering. You know, the great socialist utopia. It's going to be great. Who decides? Well, don't worry about that. Who decides? You do, sort of. You can decide whether you want to push the button or not push the button. The one button you get. See, you decide. It's going to be great. The singularity, however, would involve people dying in the flesh and being uploaded into a computer and remaining conscious, or people simply being annihilated in an imperceptible instant before a new superconsciousness takes over the earth. The rapture and the singularity share one thing in common. They can never be verified by the living. Provocative. Continuing, he wrote, you need culture to even perceive information technology. Well, then you got to remake culture, don't you? So he writes, even more extreme claims are routinely promoted in the new digital climate. Bits are presented as if they were alive. While humans are transient, they're transient fragments. Real people must have left all those anonymous comments on blogs and video clips, but who knows where they are now or if they are dead. The digital hive is growing at the expense of individuality. And, you know, this was published before, dare I say, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. Operation Earnest Voice, sock puppets, astroturfing. Who would want to do such a thing? Kevin Kelly says that we don't need authors anymore, that all the ideas of the world, all the fragments that used to be assembled into coherent books by identifiable authors can be combined into one single global book. Wired editor Chris Anderson proposes that science should no longer seek theories that scientists can understand because the digital cloud will understand them better anyway. Anti-human rhetoric is fascinating in the same way that self-destruction is fascinating. It offends us, but we cannot look away. The anti-human approach to computation is one of the most baseless ideas in human history. And debasing and dehumanizing, I would add. A computer isn't even there unless a person experiences it. And this is part of what I've been trying to talk about. When you just have a moment to stand apart from all of this insanity and look outside and see whether you acknowledge it or not, the tree still grows. And what William in Montana marveled at and shared with us all recently still happens, regardless of whether or not we experience it. Simple, profound, but something to think about. There will be a warm mass of patterned silicon with electricity coursing through it, but the bits don't mean anything, Jaron Lanier writes, without a cultured person to interpret them. This is not solipsism. You can believe that your mind makes up the world, but a bullet will still kill you. A virtual bullet, however, doesn't even exist unless there's a person to recognize it as a representation of a bullet. This starts to get into the Matrix a little bit, doesn't it? Guns are real in a way that computers are not. Next section, making people obsolete so that computers seem more advanced. Seem, I think, is the operative concept there. I'll leave it at that, but this is, you know, hopefully this is maybe insightful and some kind of, I don't know, refreshing sort of way. You know, cybernetic totalists don't want us talking about these things, and it is with religious fervor they pursue their goals, but I think most of them are programmed the way that Bertrand Russell wrote. Not allowed to know where their convictions were generated, and just going along, playing their role like everyone else. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If Jaron Lanier found the Lord, I think he would be William in Montana. The guy is just so brilliant and so fascinating. What do we mean when we talk about cybernetic totalism? Jaron Lanier coined the term, I believe, a while back. He is definitely responsible for popularizing it if he didn't coin it. According to Eva Casado de Amazua, referring to Jaron Lanier and is One Half a Manifesto over at edge.org. More on that in a second, and then we'll go to the phones. Cybernetic totalism is the set of the following interlocking beliefs. Tell me if this doesn't sound dehumanizing. You know, we wonder why there's so much rampant depression these days. Kids are, you know, go outside, play with a stick and a pine cone for Pete's sake. Put the device down, you know. Parents, they don't need, you know, if it's more addictive than heroin, maybe we should not put it in their hands, maybe ever, maybe. You know, Paul seems to be able to function just fine with a landline. So, cybernetic totalism is a set of the following interlocking beliefs. One, cybernetic patterns of information provide the ultimate way to understand reality. And, you know, when we're talking cybernetics, we're thinking Norbert Wiener. And basically, the missile guidance system, look at this. It's so cool. We, you know, with maths, we can launch a missile from here to there and predict exactly where and when it will land. That's really cool. What if we could do that with people? And as Bernays observed, do it in a way, you know, through herd psychology that they are unaware, you know, without their knowing it. That's pretty cool. We can launch a person from here to there and create some predictability in when and where they will exactly arrive. Yikes. But you know what? That can't happen to me. I'm so glad that I can't be manipulated. I'm so glad. Holy cow. So one, cybernetic patterns of information provide the ultimate way to understand reality. Two, people are no more than cybernetic patterns. Three, subjective experience either doesn't exist or is unimportant. Why is there such an effort to promote it in a post-truth era then? Four, evolution and mankind are at the center of it. That's not narcissistic at all. Is in fact also the superior cause of all creativity and culture. Talk about a God complex. Five, information systems would be accelerated by Moore's Law. But, you know, again, like Paul observed, we don't get to benefit from that. Only the alphabet soups, right? And six, biology and physics will merge with computers, resulting in a cybernetic cataclysm. I invite people to read chapter 10 of Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines and read and see the things that you hear about on networks like this, for example, that are happening. But there's so much just machinery, the virtual reality stuff. You know, Google Glass, did that get off the ground? That was a concept Kurzweil said would stick by 2019. Keyboards are rare, although they still exist. I've talked about that story in the kid out in New York, the high school kid, you know, a Kurzweil-esque upstart who by now was supposed to have these heads-up displays everywhere, no more monitors in their office, and he got $10 million right out of high school to do that. But these concepts are not sticking. You and I, we just, you know, apparently we're not sophisticated enough, apparently we're not cultured enough, in Jaron Lanier's terms, so to speak. You know, that's, I'm joking a little bit there. Anyway, from One Half of a Manifesto, quickly, and then back to the phones. For the last 20 years, Jaron Lanier wrote, I have found myself on the inside of a revolution, but on the outside of its resplendent dogma. Now that the revolution has not only hit the mainstream, but bludgeoned it into submission by taking over the economy, it's probably time for me to cry out my dissent more loudly than I have before. And so, from the beginning there, Jaron Lanier, a pioneer in virtual reality, musician and currently the lead scientist for the National Teleimmersion Initiative, worries about the future of human culture more than the gadgets. In his Half a Manifesto, he takes on those terms, the cybernetic totalists who do not seem to have been educated in the tradition of scientific skepticism. And I understand why they're intoxicated. There is a compelling, simple logic behind their thinking, and elegance in thought is infectious. But could a billion Chinese be wrong? Well, it's possible. But what happens when they have a death grip on the megaphone? What happens then? Kind of reminds one of the First Amendment, doesn't it? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Sense. And again, in view of Independence Day, we are all, humanity is being subjugated, and it seems to me that America is largely the epicenter of the subjugation. The subject of cybernetic totalism is in view because we are all propagandized from womb to grave to believe that it's our idea, in Rand game theory fashion, in cybernetic totalist fashion, and this is what we want. And this is what's, you know, it's for the common good and so forth, when actually it's dehumanizing, it's demoralizing. And, you know, the utopian, the grand utopian dream is just never quite realized, at least not for, you know, 6 billion people. So maybe it's time to rethink it. Maybe it's time to take some decisive action. And, you know, thoughtfully reflect first on what is happening, really. Back to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, you there?
I am there, and so are you.
Listen, I was very lucky. I went to the library, and I was able to locate the book and audio tapes of White Trash, the 400-year untold history of class in America. And the thing is, you know, because church and state love to get their hands on us and help you educate your children, so they can plant those little biased mythological tapes in their head when they're young. Because they know if they get them when they're young, they probably got them for life, okay? So the thing is, we have to be willing to give up a lot of the myths, kind word for lies, we were taught about the founding of this country. But sometimes people are willing to give up some of them, but their favorites they still want to hang on to. You know, so the thing is, you know, so the thing is about this country. So far I've found out that a lot of the people they sent over here, they called waste people. They were trying to get rid of them. In fact, they kind of hoped a lot of them just couldn't make it and died off. Now, you have to understand there have been classes, just like there were in England. You know, they brought all that those ideas with them, okay? So the thing is, the people who were well-connected and had more advantage and also were craftier at lying and cheating and stealing to get even more land through that redacted program, and they literally got hundreds of millions of acres, okay? The thing is, but then there were others who were the indentured servants. Now, the thing is, I find it particularly amusing, people say, they came here for religious freedom. Excuse me? It's like, were they fleeing Muslims? Nah. Catholics? No. Jews? No. Who was persecuting them? Let's see. Oh, that would be Protestants were persecuting Protestants, and they didn't have the courage to stay home and fight, so they ran to another land, okay, and those people had not written some laws on paper, okay, so they felt, oh, it's up for grabs, okay? Now, when we, you know, a lot of these people, when they talk about this, and what I'm trying to show people is the double standard that has been ingrained in our head, okay, so that we can think more clearly. You know, the people that come out, well, they're breaking the law. Well, the Indians didn't write words on paper, or they're bringing germs and disease. Oh, my God. The Europeans nearly wiped out the Native American population with their germs, okay? In fact, they would do it deliberately by giving them infected blankets, okay? But in their mind, with their mental gymnastics, they told themselves to justify their actions. Oh, God's helping us. You got all those Indians dying. It's a sign. It's a sign from God. We are supposed to have this land. Man, that takes some rationalization, okay? So the thing is, you know, we've talked about that cycle of abuse. Okay, so the Protestants fled persecution from other Protestants to come over here, take land, wasn't theirs, said it was God's will. And then it's not just other people of other religions. They need somebody to work all this land, okay? So they even abused other poorer, less well-connected people shipped over on those boats as indentured servants to help them work the land. And a lot of times, too, when they get up to the end of their indenture, they go, oh, because they had made certain promises to them. And they go, oh, oops, we lied. You know, we're not letting you go. We're not giving you a damn thing. You see, so the thing is, we have a lot of fantasy fairy tales about how good and wonderful that these people were. And, you know, it's hard. It takes guts to face the truth. particularly if they're from your own demographic group, okay? So the thing is, I'm reading about this because, I don't think we can get to a place in this country where we can actually fix things until we tell the truth, the whole truth, not the half truth, not the truth we like. You know, it's like the whole truth, and a lot of it I think is still coming out because we didn't have near as much access to information as we do now, and much of it was deliberately hidden from us because they whitewashed it all, because they didn't want us to know it. Because, you know, people who want to rule over other people, and they want you to believe so that you will follow willingly instead of struggling against it, and to fool the better people who like to follow rules and be nice and do the right thing. They have to fool you into believing that they occupy the moral high ground.
Exactly. And continue to play people groups off against each other. And so the old axiom, the more things change, the more they stay the same, obviously, is in view. And I agree, you know, telling the whole truth is what I am interested in here. That to me is redundant, but, you know, that's why this all really centers around the spirit of James Otis, in my opinion. Speaking of occluding history, how much do people learn about James Otis? And I'm curious how many folks have read anything about James Otis or even heard about him when John Adams says he's the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men, but who's ever heard of James Otis? And his spirit is, I believe, precisely in keeping with your remarks. So, anyway.
Well, like you say, you know, so that's my two cents. I'm looking into another book, too, that I'm looking into this, because I think Louisiana is an example there's this woman, she's a sociologist from Berkeley, and she decided to really just go into the reddest of the red areas, okay? And
what's the name of the book? We got calls stacking up. I don't mean to cut you short.
I'll call later, and I'll talk about this when I'm more prepared later. Let me let you move on to someone else.
All right. Thanks, Renee. I appreciate the call. And, you know, again, I mean, I've mentioned it. And this is the kind of conversation that's in view when I say we have our own troubled past. But now we're in the information age. We have all this information, and we're supposed to believe that we're kinder, better, gentler, more civilized, more sophisticated people. Well, how much do we learn of history, let alone from history? And like I said, to me, it all centers around those sentiments expressed by James Otis. And all of the, you know, folks so concerned with the rights of others, I dare say they should read James Otis. Read up on him. Back to the phones. Bo in Lower United States. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah. Hello, Chris. Yeah. United States lowercase. I don't like to be capitalized. They have turned us into the money in this thing called a country. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Renee has got an open mind, because some of the things that I have to say will probably shatter some of her belief systems. A country is just a concept created in the mind by the attorney. Going back to the, since we're there, the independence thing. Independent is not the opposite of dependent. Kind of says you're in a pending state. So when they said, yeah, we're going to give you independence, basically the law merchant was coming along and saying, yeah, we're going to put you in a pending state so we can administer your estates for you. After all, they declared them all lost at sea in 1666 in the Sestakivai Act. But, yeah, another thing I hear RBN likes to, a lot of talk show hosts like to stand on that Bill of Rights. Well, just the wordsmithing alone should tell you it's a bill. And in order for the law merchant to grant those rights to you in the first place, he had to come along and take them from you, didn't he? So, yeah, there's, it's just amazing that Jesus was here to point out who the enemy was. And
Webster's, I don't have a copy of Black's Law in front of me, but Webster's 1828 defines in law a bill as a declaration in writing expressing some wrong the complainant has suffered from the defendant. I think that's the definition we're looking at here.
Well, liberty has traditionally throughout history been granted within a corporate structure. In other words, liberty is a franchise. And so there are some misconceptions about the word liberty, I think, as well. Anyways, I don't get my rights from the Bill of Rights. They stole those mm-hmm. in order to sell them back. I mean, do you see that?
No, I'm not following you. So independence in Webster's 1828 is defined as a state of being not dependent, complete exemption from control or the power of others, which sounds exactly like what I've been talking about from Hayek's Road to Serfdom. A state in which a person does not rely on others for subsistence, ability to support oneself. A state of mind in which a person acts without bias or influence from others, which sounds precisely like what Hayek wrote in Chapter 2, The Great Utopia of the Road to Serfdom. To the great apostles of political freedom, the word had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men, release from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior to whom he was attached. And that concept is precisely what I was raised to believe was sort of patently American and inherent in our DNA, so to speak.
Well, I think you need to look at the definition a little further back, like out of etymology, circa 1610s, the word independent, as you can find on etymology online. But, the attorney is, it comes from the word a turn, means to turn over to another. And that's exactly what they've done from the very beginning. You know, Jesus always said we're known by our works and actions. So just because these people in Congress may be doctors or have other professions, they're all attorneys by their works and actions. And they're selling us all kinds of bills.
I think I understand.
We're on the hook to pay for it.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. I'm going to have to agree to disagree on some of the stuff, but I will agree. You know, like you said, I mean, I was pointing out again. You know, the Ninth Amendment, the enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights, and back to the Declaration of Independence, holding these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And, you know, we can say what we want, you know, to what you've said, to what Renee said, but Jefferson's views were very liberty-minded and
sure.
encompassed all men. And he expressed those sentiments in private correspondence. So he had nothing to gain. To me, it seems that if those writings are true and accurate, this is a sentiment that he held firmly. And it's, again, it's in keeping with the spirit of James Otis, so to speak. And I dare say, again, I think we all should investigate James Otis. Anyway, we got other calls we got to get to. Bo, I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Chris, thanks.
You bet. Back to the phones. Glenn in Pennsylvania. Philly, thanks for calling. The city of brotherly love. Welcome.
Yes, where the Declaration of Independence was signed and the Liberty Bell mm-hmm. resides. Yes.
Yeah.
And where Wawa convenience store franchise is giving away 32,000 hoagies over the next 6 days at various special events.
Free stuff? That sounds
free
American.
Stuff.
I'll be there. I'll
that
be right
is
there.
American. Yes. Yeah, with, you know, rolls grown with subsidized grain. But anyway, but GMO free. But anyway,
of course.
I was looking up, yeah, I was doing trying cross reference. We were mired in complexity today. I was, you know, looking to reference etymology online and trying to figure out what insects have to do with all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when I looked over at etymology online, it started to make a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, as, when I first called in, I was thinking about this contrasting of the cybernetic totalism and the singularity and the comparing that with the rapture and all that sort of thing.
I'm just articulating Jaron Lanier's observation there, but I do share
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, what he was saying. And what I thought was interesting is, there's so many different things that play off of this, but what I was thinking of in that context at that moment was, and this stuff about the rapture, the pre-trib rapture apologists are getting, you know, more aggressive and organized these days and talking about that. And so, like, very often people who believe in the pre-trib rapture are accused of being complacent because they're just waiting to escape, or they're going to, or Mike Rivera mistakes the Dominionists for the, the dispensational pre-tribbers, and, you know, thinks that, they're going to bring about World War III and God's going to invite us up to the big house and all that kind of stuff. But the rapture people will say that, no, the imminence of the return of Christ should motivate people to evangelism and to sharing Christ. And I always tend to think that, well, if you're looking for imminence, there's nothing better than the imminence of one's individual personal death. Turn or burn, you know, that's imminent enough. So all that. But in terms of the way this affects culture and thinking on all that, thinking of contrasting the cybernetic totalism versus like Niebuhr and Christ and culture, and how, you know, the presence of the church in the society is supposed to have, you know, a redemptive influence on culture and sort of guide people away from cultural anomie, the degradation of ethics and social values, and it helping people to love their neighbors or themselves. And we see this in the admixture between the paganism that the, you know, earlier callers talking about, the pagan, it's all the wheat and the tares are growing up together. You know, we've seen Christian influence on America as well as pagan, you know, and the wheat and tares grow up together. So anyone thinking any sort of purism is destined to be, you know, frustrated.
It's another bifurcation policy. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you know, the history is written by the victors, and this is why, you know, there's so much fodder for Rene to point out, well, these guys weren't so good. Nobody really has the moral high ground. Well, there's no shortage of groups. You can point ad infinitum to stuff like that.
And at the same time, as I've reflected recently, you also could make the argument that we all have in our history some, we have some axe to grind along these lines. So we're all at fault to some extent historically, and we all have an axe to grind historically. If you want to go down that path, it's there. And one of the glaring examples to me, that speaking of historical revisionism, you know, the issue of slavery, let's talk about slavery today, because there isn't, to me, there is an issue of indentured servitude that could be discussed in a very literal context, but the issue of the Irish, what's that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. And you know, again, the invisible tax of inflation, but among other, and that's not even, you know, you're closer to the literal than what I am, but the subject of the Irish slaves is something that is a controversy these days. And so even Snopes says at the entry, were the Irish slaves in America too? Well, again, you know, Maybe. Not exactly. You know, so it's a mixture, according to Snopes. And, you know, everything, we're still in just marinating in this same kind of historical revisionism for different reasons and motivations at this point, obviously, but it's still the same thing. So what is the salient takeaway from that? To me, it's that we can learn whatever the lessons are, whatever the facts are. And it's to me, it, you know, in my own family, I'll just say this, I don't want to belabor this, but having lost contact with certain family members, you can't, how could we possibly sort out what the motivations were at the time? Could we get someone to tell, even if you could find survivors in the family who were there and can give a first hand account of what happened, are they going to be completely objective, or do they have, you know, some kind of an interest? Are they going to try to save face or whatever? And so these kinds of things all the more. You know what I mean? So what is the salient takeaway from all of that?
I don't know. Maybe Wittgenstein, all truth is subjectively interpreted. Hello, he raised his head there for a second. What do we want to do? How shall we then live? You know? Shall we then live? You know? Well, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know? Maintain the testimony of Jesus and affect the culture redemptively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but in spite of all our kvetching about slavery, I just drove home in my automobile and came into my electrically lit house that has air conditioning and made myself a lovely sandwich for lunch. I'm eventually going to get a nice hot shower and get cleaned up and finish doing some laundry right here on my premises, a mechanical machine that does it for me so I don't have to beat the clothes on rocks. I'm hard-pressed, you know, in some ways, you know, I'm ashamed complaining when I'm, you know, I have comforts in my life that ancient kings didn't have, you know?
Yeah, that is it's a good perspective to kind of, yeah.
I mean, Jefferson had Monticello, but he didn't have hot and cold running shower in his house with a massaging shower head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. And the advantage of a cell phone over landline is that you can take it everywhere. You know, and I get the whole thing. We're way too dependent on the devices. And it's especially weird that the author you quoted was talking about screens, you know, portable screens back then.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Amazing. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Bye. Yep. Thanks, Glenn. Happy Independence Day to everyone. I hope that we thoughtfully reflect. We won't be live tomorrow. A couple of things. Second Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But 1 Corinthians 8:9. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. And finally, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I hope you have a great Independence Day, and I hope it's a time of thoughtful reflection. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
You may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.